Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio. I'm your host, Dave Custy. With me today is Arnold Packer. Dr. Packer retired from the Johns Hopkins University in May of 2004 after 12 years as director of the SCANS 2000 Center. Subsequently, he taught economics at the Methodist University College of Ghana and education policy at Western Carolina University. Currently, he is a consultant to Listen Up on a project that is developing and testing the verified resume concept with 13 youth media organizations around the country. During his years at the Hopkins SCANS Center, he obtained over $11 million in funding to develop and pilot instructional CDs and test them in high schools and colleges, teaching student problem-solving skills such as how to create business and marketing plans, make technical presentations, design computer systems, and perform other valuable tests. Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio, Mr. Packer.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Give me a short bio.
My first degree was in engineering, and I went into engineering because it was the only four-year degree that did not require a foreign language, and I found learning a foreign language to be sort of overwhelming. And I went into engineering since my inadequacy with foreign language was almost matched by my inadequacy with spatial relations. So then, having that degree, I went and got a master's in business and a PhD in economics, where one didn't need any spatial relations whatsoever. And I have had a bunch of interesting jobs, but always in the back of my mind was the thought that something must be wrong with education if I, like some others I know, were forced into a profession that I was really not suited for because I could not learn one of the many courses that I could take. As an economist, it became apparent to many economists that the workforce was the key resource for America's economic future and that the failures of education were failures that were transmitted to the workforce. As time went on, the Americans faced competition from Asia and South America and now Africa too, and it was more important than ever that Americans learn how to do what was necessary in order to earn a middle-class income. So that's been my background.
Tell us a little bit about your 12 years at the SCANS 2000 Center.
Okay, let me just spend a moment talking about SCANS. SCANS was the Secretary's Commission on Achieving Necessary Skill, which operated until 92 when I did go to Hopkins to continue the work. The main import of SCANS was to indicate that there were things called soft skills, a terrible name, that were more important than calculus. And they were things like responsibility and a work ethic and behavioral skills of that sort, ranging everywhere from what's your responsibility if you worked in a hospital operating room to how do you handle safety on a construction job. But there were other things like making a budget and developing a schedule. And then there were the collaboration skills, teamwork, and how do you work with others to be productive, and communication, and especially oral communication, such as I'm attempting to do now. And that was not emphasized at all, and most likely still is not emphasized. And so that was the SCANS work. When I came to Hopkins, we looked into how does one create projects in which youngsters could learn SCANS skills while also learning the math and English that they need. And we built a CD-ROM, for example, that put the youngster working in a team, in a group, that would seek funding for a retail store in a mall. And they had to put a budget plan together, or really a business plan in that case. They had to understand about schedules and so forth and so on. So that was the primary work there. It was tried in Baltimore. The results were extraordinarily good as far as youngsters graduating, youngsters taking harder courses and getting better grade because of all kinds of wrong reasons. Once the project money ran out, the project ceased, which says something about the current state of our education system.
So the people on this SCANS project, they were high school and college students?
They were high school students. There was also an NSF grant to look at community colleges and youngsters in community college who were going into manufacturing jobs. And there were things like how do you locate a factory to balance costs against environmental degradation. And again, the youngsters were very much involved. It was somewhat harder for the teacher, but much more rewarding for the teacher and the students to be in facing real-world problems instead of the frequently abstractions that are part of the academic curricula.
It sounded like you tried to address the full gamut of what you find when you go out into the working world, and you say that the funding for it ceased. When did that happen?
Well, it was a five-year grant. I guess it was late in the 70s. Baltimore at that time was rotating through superintendents every 3 or 4 years, and every new superintendent was disinterested in what any previous superintendent had done. I think some of the improvements we've seen here in Baltimore is due to Dr. Alonzo staying for so many years, and I hope the new superintendent is also successful in that regard. I am concerned that the Common Core testing and the excess testing will again give short shrift to these very important skills such as communication and collaboration and solving unique problems that will be faced by students when they enter the world of their career.
That leads me up to an article in the Baltimore Sun about training Americans with skills that employers need. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, there were really two parts to that. It's clear that children who grow up in poverty don't do as well as children from middle-class families, for a whole host of reasons. And therefore, it's important to reduce the poverty rate for children in Baltimore, especially where I think one-third of the youngsters here in town live in families below the poverty level, and another third are between that and twice the poverty level. Poverty level for a family of three is about $20,000. These youngsters, if they're typical, hear 3 million less words by the time they're 3 years old than do children in middle-class families. So the issue is, how do you end the poverty? And part of it is the lack of jobs, especially jobs that are full-time, full-year jobs, not 1,000-hour year work, but the 2,000 hours that come if you work for 50 weeks at 40 hours a week. And at a wage rate that at $10.10 an hour, the minimum wage under the Obama administration proposal for 2,000 hours, you'd make over $20,000, which would take you above poverty. And in addition, there is the earned income tax credit and other benefits. People, even at that level, would be above the poverty level. And if these jobs concentrated on heads of families with children, you'd have a two-generation policy. They're mostly mothers. There are some fathers, too. But you'd handle the parent generation and the children's generation. The issue, of course, is how do you create jobs or find jobs for these people? And B, how do you enrich the jobs sufficiently so that subsequently they can move up, the parents can move up the career ladder and make a middle-class income, which might be above three times the poverty level, or above $60,000. And we believe that if the jobs included a training component, especially in the soft skills, customer service, teamwork, communication of various sorts in written and oral form, those goals might be attained. There is funds available and from the federal government for programs of this sort, and the challenge is to get together with the correct people and put together a proposal that will succeed in obtaining those funds for Baltimore. I had a conversation with the staff in Senator Cardin's office just yesterday and have talked to others in Maryland and in Baltimore, and will continue those conversations with the hope that we will indeed be able to bring in that kind of money. The grants are $3 to $10 million each, but there will be plenty of competition for them. But to bring that sort of money into Baltimore and try out a situation where you have learning-rich jobs that are targeted on the heads of families with children. We will look particularly at apprenticeship programs in health, in construction, and information technology, and perhaps elsewhere to ensure that adults can be given a certificate that has weight, more weight than the high school diploma these days in the labor market as far as obtaining a job.
Do you see this as a continuation of the SCANS 2000 project in terms of the way to make it happen?
Well, in part, the education and training is very much in that mode and of learning. One of the things we have experimented with is something that I call a verified resume, and we have administered that to youngsters here in Baltimore in relatively small numbers, and it gives the student a document that indicates how they have performed in these soft skills at a minimum level, that they've shown up to work on time and ready to work. Much more important than that is if it's communication. For example, in one project that I was involved with, we had youngsters talk to people in Baltimore who wanted to lose weight, and we had a Hopkins-generated project to try to use technology to support that. And the youngsters had to call up these adults and try to arrange for them to come down to Hopkins to be weighed and instructed on how to lose weight. Frankly, the youngsters needed a lot of work before they could make that phone call, make themselves intelligible, and understand how to carry on that conversation. The youngsters also had an opportunity to talk to peers about exercise and diet. And again, much work was needed. And it's very important that youngsters from disadvantaged neighborhoods learn to be able to communicate with people, not only in their own community, but in other communities, whether they're going to be a nurse, a salesperson at a retail store, or whatever particular job they're going to end up in.
Sounds like a good plan. A lot of my programs, I address issues and business as developing a blueprint or a business plan. Are you in the midst of doing that? And tell me about your partners in writing this piece for The Sun.
Well, those are two different things. As I said, we did for Baltimore develop this CD-ROM on a business plan. It was sold nationally by a publishing company that sold well over 5,000 of the workbooks that associated with the CD-ROM. And that is something that if Baltimore is interested in developing entrepreneurs and innovators, the youngsters will find that more interesting and more relevant and more useful for them than a course in calculus, or one doesn't have to factor a polynomial very frequently. One does have to know how to use a spreadsheet to come up with a business plan and how to present that business plan to banks and mall owners who will allocate space to businesses that look like they're financially viable. The other two co-authors are Jody Allen and Robert Lerman. Both worked with me at the Labor Department in the Carter years, and President Carter had proposed welfare reform that included the earned income tax credit, which has come to be part of our system and is considered the best anti-poverty program we have. That earned income tax credit supplements the wages that people get. But the other thing that was part of the Carter plan and was originally proposed by President Clinton also, but rejected, was making sure there was a job for every family head with children. And now it does seem to me, and it did seem to President Carter at the time, that would be politically attractive, that people thought that someone willing to work who had children that they had to take care of should be given a job. Now, where would the jobs be? Well, for example, there is a shortage of healthcare workers in certain arenas, nurses, people who will help fragile elderly and chronically ill people stay out of the hospital. We are expecting a greater burden of those sorts of people as the baby boomers enter their senior years. People are sounding the alarm about the millions of potential Alzheimer's patients and how we will provide care for them. Even if somebody in the family takes care of them a couple of days a week, they need a break. If you're wealthy, you can hire a caregiver, but many people who will get Alzheimer's or senility or ill in a different way did not have those funds. And the upshot is they enter a hospital at much more expense than if they were taken care of in their own homes. When one looks around Baltimore, there's plenty of work to be done to maintain an attractive city. And on and on, there are plenty of homes that could be made more energy efficient. There's no lack of needs. Often what there is a lack of imagination, creativity, and a willingness to cooperate among government agencies with slightly different targets, and not seeing that everybody's goals can be better served if there will be cooperation. And of course, it needs to be cooperation with the private sector. Many, many companies complain about not being able to find workers despite the high unemployment rate who will pass a drug test, come in on time, put in the work effort, have the capacity to solve a problem when it comes up instead of having to always speak to the supervisor. And improving the quality of the workforce is, in my judgment as an economist, the key to economic development for a community like Baltimore.
It sounds like a fascinating plan. I guess I didn't articulate the question when I asked you about the two separate things. I wanted to know about a plan and be a continuation of the SCANS project. Also about like-minded individuals and people who are interested in this project. And you talked about that there's public money available and that we need to get private companies and organizations in there. What has happened so far? What kind of interest have you garnered?
We've just started our exploration. We will look next under a grant from the Able Foundation at apprenticeship programs. These have structured work-based learning in it. What we want to do is to ensure that the SCAN skills are conveyed. We did run a project, another project at the SCANS 2000 Center about welfare to work. As your listeners may know, there's now a limit on how long one can spend on welfare, 5 years in a lifetime and frequently 2 consecutive years. What we found was when many of these welfare moms got the jobs, say, in the supermarket, they were part-time jobs, irregular schedules, and low pay. We also found that there was a lack of communication about the SCAN skills in the enterprise between the supervisors supervisor and the worker. Indeed, the supervisor's comments to the worker were often negative, and the worker didn't know what was expected. And so there was this missing scan skills of communication on two sides of that coin, both the worker and the supervisor. We brought in other people, mostly individuals at community colleges, to enhance that communication and go through the scan skills. So, for example, one of the scan skills is customer service. We wanted the supervisor to explain to the worker and the worker to understand what did customer service mean in that particular store. Obviously, customer service at Nordstrom's is of a higher quality than customer service at a dollar store. Indeed, salespeople at Nordstrom's can earn six figures. But you do have to understand what you mean by customer service. Is it remembering a customer who has been in the store more than three times? Is it stopping whatever you do when a customer comes in and instead of making the customer wait while you finish your personal phone call or take inventory and stop that and address the customer politely and continue working with that customer until you can solve their problem. And one sees the difference in customer service at different supermarkets here in Baltimore. Some are known to charge more, but they provide better customer service. Whole Foods, for example, or Eddie's are known for providing that superior customer service. So that kind of communication about the soft skills between the supervisor and the worker is part of what we envision in these jobs that we would provide for family heads. So that's essentially how to carry it on. But again, that was a successful program, and I don't know to what extent that it carried on past the federal funds that were available to employ these liaisons from the community college.
So in terms of carrying on this project, what do you see it in, say, 3 months to 5 years, or what do you hope will become of it?
Well, in the short term, I would hope that at the end of 3 months, we were well on our way to submitting a proposal to the U.S. Department of Labor for some of the grant money that's available, and I think the grant is due sometime in the spring. But in 5 years, I would hope in Baltimore, we could say that almost all of the heads of families with children were in a position to avoid poverty, were learning career skills that looked like the scan skills in the sector or field that they're interested in, and were in a career ladder, and all the children in those families would not have the burdens of dire poverty and were doing as well in school as their more fortunate peers who come from complete families and who have incomes that take them out of poverty. And that in 5 years, hopefully the concept would spread nationally and we would not have the unforgivable situation we have today where so many American youngsters, especially youngsters of color, grow up in poverty and do not succeed as well as they might if their health and nutrition and education were up to a decent standard.
Well, that's a lofty goal to attain in 5 years, but I would like to help in terms of coordinate the like-minded individuals and organizations to make this happen. Would you be interested in returning and having an ongoing program?
Very much so. It might be interesting as we go forward to find some of the apprenticeship programs, perhaps some of the state people who are interested and involved with apprenticeship. We also do a poor job, I think, again, in the high schools of preparing youngsters for these kinds of situations, what used to be called the trades, vocational education, but also career guidance. Most youngsters, poor or rich, leave high school with only the vaguest ideas of what various jobs pay, what is required in the way of degrees and licenses, what are the potential for jobs, what are the earnings possibilities. Perhaps for many, a four-year liberal arts degree is something that should at least be compared to a two-year program that leads to a job as an electrician or plumber, which can include, if they've gone through this business plan program, the ability to set up their own plumbing contracting business. So there's all sorts of things that could be done. Given the international competition, we'd better get on with it or the country is not going to succeed. And so I would love the opportunity to perhaps have two of us from private business to bring in maybe people from the supermarkets, from the healthcare sector, from the IT sector, and see what can be done, because it's only what's done and that affects real people that makes any real difference in this world.
Yeah, that's the best point. It affects real people. And as you say, we need computer whizzes as much as we need plumbers. So it runs the entire gamut. But I could keep it in a continual feature here, and you can have people in and like-minded people and people formulating the ideas, and let's get this done, because it worked 20 years ago. It should work now.
Yes, terrific. I think that's great, Dave, and I'd appreciate
it. Well, that's what we're going to do. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Mr.
No, Craig? I think that's it.
Okay. I think this is a good start. I've been talking to Dr. Arnold Packer, an economist who was in the SCANS program 2000 at Johns Hopkins University, and he wrote an article, Baltimore's Breadwinners Need Jobs, and he's got this terrific idea to train Americans, Baltimoreans in particular, with skills that employers need. Thank you for coming here, Mr. Packer. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is going to be an ongoing process until we get it done, so we can do it for years and years to come, hopefully.
Hopefully. That five-year time horizon you mentioned sounds about right.
Oh, that's terrific. That's great. Well, let's keep doing it then. I want to thank you for being on. My name's Dave Custy. You're listening to Baltimore Internet Radio.